Turn with me, if you would please, to Exodus chapter 16. In our last lesson, we looked at the first 17 verses of Exodus chapter 16, and we saw how Moses brought the children of Israel into the wilderness, and how they all murmured and said to him, "Would to God that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt." They said, "At least there we had flesh to eat and enough bread to eat, but you brought us out here to die." And in doing so, they weren't really murmuring against Moses, but against the Lord. It was the Lord who led them through the wilderness, according to his sovereign purpose. And yet in their rebellion, they were not condemned, but rather they found the mercy of God. The Lord said this to Moses. He said, "Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no." And then here in verse 5, or in Exodus 16, here in verse 5, the Lord said, "And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily." And so the Lord said that he would rain down bread from heaven, and that they were to gather up that bread, and on the sixth day he would give them twice as much bread as he gave them on the other days. And then here in verse 6, we read, "And Moses and Aaron said unto all the children of Israel at evening, then you shall know that the Lord hath brought you out from the land of Egypt. And in the morning, then you shall see the glory of the Lord. For he that heareth your murmurings against the Lord, and what are we that you murmur against us?" Now watch this. "And Moses said, this shall be, when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, for that the Lord heareth your murmurings which you murmur against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord." "And Moses spake unto Aaron, say unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he hath heard your murmurings. And it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness. And behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, at even you shall eat flesh, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. And you shall know that I am the Lord your God." And so the children of Israel murmured and complained against God's providence, but God showed himself to be merciful. And he gave them bread, and he also gave them flesh to eat. And in the same way, God in his mercy is long-suffering and patient with us for Christ's sake. And that's just what is typified here in Exodus. And these children of Israel are just a type or a figure of God's chosen people. There were some of his elect among the Israelites, but as we'll see later on, Lord willing, most of them perished in unbelief. Most of them perished. And both Moses and Aaron here are a figure of one who was to come, the one mediator between God and men, who is the man Christ Jesus, who would intercede on behalf of his chosen people. Now, here in verse 13 we read, "And it came to pass that at an evening the quails came up and covered the camp. And in the morning the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness, there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said to one another, it is manna, for they wist not." Or in other words, they did not know what it was. "And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating, and omer for every man according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents." And the children of Israel did so, and gathered some more, some less. And that's where we left off in our last lesson. Now, this bread from heaven points us to Christ. Amen. Here they are in the wilderness. In fact, in verse 1 it says that they are in the wilderness of sin. And that's where we are now. This world is a wilderness. This world is not our home, brethren. This world is just a bump on the road on our way to heaven, as Pastor Fortner said in our conference. This world is a desert. That's what the word wilderness means here, a desert. And the word sin here is the Hebrew word for thorns. And everything that we see in this fallen world ever since Adam fell is tainted with sin. And you'll recall that in Genesis, when Adam fell, that's when thorns sprung up. In Genesis chapter 3, the Lord said this to Adam, "Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. And sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it thou wast taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. And so everything that is pleasant and beautiful and enjoyable in this fallen world also brings us grief and pain and sorrow. But brethren, even in the midst of all that, even in the midst of all that, our Lord still rains down bread from heaven on his chosen people, so that even in the midst of our sorrow, we feast on Christ, who is the true bread from heaven, and we are refreshed. Our Lord said, "Truly, truly, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world." Amen. And he said, "I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die." Yes, sir. And our Lord said, "He that eateth of this bread shall live forever." And so this bread here in Exodus points us to Christ, who is the true bread. And the children of Israel point us to God's chosen people who feast on Christ himself. It says here in verse 16, "This is the thing which the Lord commanded, gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man according to the number of your persons. Take you every man for them which are in his tents." And so it's the responsibility as well as the privilege for us to feast on Jesus Christ. If Christ is this bread, then to gather him up is to lay hold of him and to not let him go. And to gather of him, of every man according to his eating, is to fill ourselves up with Christ. And it says here to take up an omer for every man according to the number of your persons. If God has been gracious to us and has fed us with the bread of life, then we are to feed others. We read this in Ecclesiastes, "Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to seven and also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth." In other words, brethren, this life that we live is just for a moment. It goes by so fast. And our only purpose for being here is to glorify God and to minister to others. If we have been entrusted with the Lord's gospel, then we are to send it out far and wide. We're to share it with those around us and share it with all who will hear us as God enables us. Our Lord said, "The harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." We ought to pray that the Lord would raise up more churches in our day, and that there might be revival throughout this land. Amen?
Amen.
That's our commission. Now notice in verses 13 and 14, we're told here that the manna appeared in the morning. And it came to pass that at evening quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. And so the manna fell upon the earth in the darkness of night, and it appeared when the morning sun rose. And brethren, it was a time of great darkness, of spiritual darkness, that our Lord appeared. He came at a time when the nation of Israel and the whole world was in great darkness. Just like we read in Malachi, the Son of Righteousness who would arise with healing in his wings. And in the same way, the Lord sends his Spirit to cause his his chosen people when we are in darkness. And he causes the light to shine in our hearts to give the knowledge of the glory of God in his face. And then notice in verse 14, it says that this manna, this bread from heaven, was a small round thing, as small as the frost on the ground. To the eyes, it wasn't very impressive. It was just a small thing. And in his humility, our Lord did not come here as a king who was decked out in jewels, but rather he came as a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He was despised and rejected and counted as nothing by all those around him. They said, "How does this man even know letters? He's not educated. This man is a nobody." And our Lord didn't even try to defend himself. He just went on doing his Father's will in all that he did. And he did that for us. He did that in our place. And like this bread from heaven, to the senses, he seemed to be insignificant, but he's life itself. I like what Pastor Fortner said about our Lord. He said, "Meekness was his majesty. Abasement was his glory. He put on our flesh that he might clothe us with his brightest glory. He sank to nothingness to exalt us above all greatness. He lived and died in shame, contempt, and pain that we might reign in all the honor of his highest glory. Now, in verse 16, when it says that they were to gather an omer for every man, that refers to a tenth of an ephah, which is about 7 pints. 7 pints, and that's enough bread for one day. And so each and every day, they would have enough bread to satisfy them. And there would be enough for all who were there in that camp. All the children of Israel would have all their needs provided for by God. We're told in verse 17, and the children of Israel did so and gathered some more, some less. And then in verse 18, and when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. Now watch this. And Moses said, let no man leave it until the morning. So here Moses continues to give the Israelites instructions from God in regard to this manna. And he says here, let no man leave of it until the morning. Don't keep any of it for the next day. But here in verse 20, we read, notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses. But some of them left it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank, and Moses was wroth with them. So once again, we see that the children of Israel were rebellious. And because they did not obey him, Moses, it says here, was wroth with them. He was angry with them. And when they disobeyed the command of the Lord that was given through Moses, not to keep any of that manna overnight, we're told that it stank and it produced worms. And so we see here that God had a purpose for having that manna last only one day. It was to be eaten all in one day so that on the next day, they would have to depend on God for more. They would have to trust that God would provide more on those 6 days. They'd have to live by faith. And so after they failed the first time, Moses rebuked them, and it appears that they started obeying. In verse 21, we read, and they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating. And when the sun waxed hot, it melted. And it came to pass that on the 6th day, they gathered twice as much bread, 2 omers for one man, and all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. And he said unto them, this is that which the Lord hath said, tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which you will bake today, and seethe that you will seethe, and that which remaineth over lay up for you to be kept until the morning. And so here we see that the Lord commanded them to gather a double portion of all that manna on the 6th day, and to keep the extra portion until the 7th day, and that 7th day would be a day of rest. It would be a holy Sabbath unto the Lord. The word Sabbath means rest, and it comes from the root word Shabbat, which means to cease from working. And so the Lord commanded them to gather up enough of that manna to make enough bread to sustain them throughout the 7th day, so that it would be a day of rest. And what all that points to is the Lord Jesus himself, who is our Sabbath rest. We are to cease working and to rest in Christ for all of our salvation.
Amen.
Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. That's what the Holy Spirit moved Paul to write in Romans chapter 10. And he said, for Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh this way, say not in your heart, who shall ascend to heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up again from the dead. In other words, Christ has already fulfilled all righteousness for us by his own obedience to the law of God, by his obedience unto death on behalf of his people. And the proof that his sacrifice was accepted is that he rose again and ascended to heaven. So we're not looking for another Savior. He's already accomplished it. He's done it all. And so Paul is saying that the righteousness which is of faith does not try to earn God's favor by the works of the law. Not only is it impossible for any of us to fulfill the law of God, but Christ has already fulfilled it for us. And so the righteousness which is of faith simply looks to Christ and grabs hold of Christ and is satisfied that Christ is enough. And Paul asks this question, but what saith it? The word is near thee, even in your mouth and in thy heart, which is the word of faith that we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
Yes, sir.
For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, isn't that good news for sinners like us? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That is the gospel. And so we read here in Exodus about this holy Sabbath unto the Lord. And it points us to him who is our Sabbath rest, to the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's accomplished for us. What rest we have knowing that all that God requires of us was accomplished by him. Now, before we go on, I just want to make this clear, because sometimes we might get confused. Though we rest in Christ for all of our righteousness and all our salvation, the people of God are those who are zealous to serve the Lord Jesus. We're not satisfied with just doing nothing. We don't have to do anything to earn our salvation or to enhance it or to gain more of it. Christ is our salvation, and it's because of that we want to serve him as he enables us to do so. And we do so freely, without fear of punishment or promise of reward. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. It's the love of Christ that compels us to do so. We're not under the law, but it is the law of love that rules in our hearts, that gives us the desire to serve in God's kingdom for his glory.
Amen.
Now, again, Moses tells us that the Israelites, they're to bake enough bread to last them throughout the 7 days so that it would be a day of rest, a holy Sabbath unto the Lord. And in verse 24, we read, "And they laid it up till the morning, as Moses bade, and it did not stink, neither was there any worm therein. And Moses said, eat that today, for today is a Sabbath unto the Lord. Today you shall not find it in the field. 6 days shall you gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none." Now watch this. "And it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day for to gather, and they found none." Now why would they do that? Why did some of them go out and try to gather up some of that manna on the seventh day when the Lord clearly said not to do that? Well, it's tempting to say that these people were idiots. But brethren, the sad fact is we are just like them.
That's right.
We're just like them, aren't we? And God is so patient. Our Lord is so long-suffering and patient with us. And we just don't know how undeserving we really are of the least of his mercies. I know I'm not alone in this, brethren. I'm so disobedient, and sometimes I just stand amazed at how long-suffering and patient God is with me for Christ's sake. And I'm just so unworthy. I'm just like these people that we read about here, and yet the Lord forgives me. And I'm just so thankful. Isn't it the case with you, brethren? Isn't the grace of our God amazing? Amen. Well, in verse 28, we read, "And the Lord said unto Moses, how long refuse you to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for that the Lord hath given you the Sabbath. Therefore he giveth you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Abide you every man in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day." And it says here, so the people rested on the seventh day. So our Lord rebuked them for their disobedience, but in his mercy he did not destroy them. And it's not really clear whether verse 29 is the words of Moses or of God himself, but the words that are spoken in verse 29 were inspired of God either way. And so God says, "See, for that the Lord hath given you the Sabbath." He's given you rest, and he's given you bread. And because all that points to our Lord Jesus Christ, our true Sabbath rest and our bread of life, we ought to remember to keep the Sabbath day holy by trusting in Christ for all things. God help us to always remember the sacrifice that our Lord made to reconcile us to God. He laid down his life for us and shed his own blood to purchase redemption for us, brethren. For Christ himself is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. He fulfilled all of God's holy law in our room instead, so that we might rest. And so let us honor our Savior by resting in his finished work. And whatever we do, whatever our God is pleased to put in our hand to do, let us do it with all of our might. There is no contradiction between those two things. I hope you agree. And I hope that this lesson it will be used of God to prepare us, not only for the service to come, but for all of our lives. As long as we live in this world, There's only one purpose for being here, to live our lives in the service of God and of his chosen people for the glory of Christ, our Lord and our Savior. In closing, it says here in verse 31, and the house of Israel called the name thereof manna, and it was like coriander seed white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. This gospel we preach, and the Lord it reveals, is just like that manna. It's sweet to God's people. The taste of it was like wafers made with honey. God help us to savor this gospel. The psalmist said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Do you trust in him? Do I trust in him? If so, then we're blessed. We're blessed. The hymn writer said, though through all the changing scenes of life, in trouble and in joy, the praises of my God shall still my heart and tongue employ. Fear him, you saints, and you will then have nothing else to fear. Make you his service your delight. Your wants shall be his care. Our Lord takes care of all of our needs.
Amen.
He's provided everything for us to live in this world for his glory. And that's our desire. If God's put a new heart and a new spirit in us, that is our desire, to live for him and for his glory. And he's given us everything that we need to do just that. So I hope that blessed you. And next week, Lord willing, we'll pick up right here in verse 32. And may the Lord be pleased to continue to bless us as we worship him. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. God bless you.